As old as you are. version of that song. There's another version of that song. I heard a sister from Sierra Leone sing it, and it turned my head. It goes like this. Ancient of days, as old as you are, as old as you are, you will never change. Ancient of days, as old as you are, as old as you are, you will never change. Ancient of days, ancient of days, as old as you are, as old as you are, you will never change. Ancient of days, as old as you are, as old as you are, you will never. Ancient of days, ancient of days, as old as you are, as old as you are, you will never change. Ancient of days, as old as you are, as old as you are, you will never change. Ancient of days, as old as you are, as old as you are, you will never change. Ancient of days, as old as you are, as old as you are, you will never change. Ancient of days, as old as you are, as you are, you will never change. Ancient of days, as old as you are, as old as you are, Lord, we bless you.
Yes.
Because you are the ancient of days. Say, your days will not wax old. They say, Lord, they shall grow old like a month. Hallelujah. Say, they shall die like men. But you remain the same. Your strength will never fail. Lord, you are the double-breasted one. The El Shaddai.
Hallelujah.
The one that's able to meet every man, to supply every man to the full.
Hallelujah.
You are the one that can touch even the deepest, the most tender, the most hidden, the most precious parts of our lives. Lord, we thank you for what you have done in our lives. We bless you for what you are doing, for what you will do. Hallelujah. From where you have brought us, and to where you are taking us. We thank you for you are mighty in the midst of us. The Lord our God is mighty. He is mighty in our midst. Great is your strength in Israel. Great is your presence. You are the King, you reign in Zion. Hallelujah. Say, let all the field rejoice. Let all the trees of the field clap their hands. Let the forest rejoice and break forth. Hallelujah. Say, songs and praise and worship and adoration waited for thee, O Lord in Zion. And unto thee shall all flesh come. Hallelujah. For you are the Lord Jehovah. Hallelujah. Is your name the covenant keeping God? Hallelujah. Yes, yes. Showing mercy. Hallelujah. To them that fear you. Yes. Hallelujah. You will not requite yourself of iniquity, my Lord. Hallelujah. Lord, we thank you for you have come to us today. We ask you, Lord, to even yet come to us. Hallelujah. That, Lord, that you will speak to us. You will come to us. Lord, of the terrible things in righteousness, of the abundance of your house, of your storehouse, you will measure unto us. Hallelujah. Bread to the eater, hallelujah, and seed to the sower. Lord, that our eyes might behold your glories, we might bless your name, hallelujah. Blessed be your name, hallelujah. In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. 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 Hallelujah. Amen. We thank God for another time of fellowship, of sharing. It's getting sweeter every day. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. And sometimes I don't have a script, so I'm not really reading anything. But I believe that we shall be reading what the Lord is saying.
Amen.
Amen. You know, so as I sat down, I was getting jittery. I said, this will soon call me. I don't have anything to tell them. Amen. And God began to speak to me of season, the season of marriage. Amen. Yeah. Hallelujah. You know, it's... the Bible says, not let puffed up. So when you know a lot, you probably go in your strength. But knowledge is not going to do anything. You know, God wants to say, God is speaking and we will speak to his people. So it's important to hear what God is saying. You know, because when you hear his voice, it's very sweet. It's sweeter than the honeycomb. Amen. So I'm looking at Ephesians chapter 5. There is something that God is saying. I'm learning that there is a place where the voice of the Lord is always constant. If you get up there, you will always hear. You know, the Bible says that the voice of God came, tumbling down to Adam. When you look at the Hebrew, you study, you will know that Adam was actually taken to a place where he heard words. It's not only him, Paul had been there, is it not so? So he was taken to the third heaven, and he heard words, which, not that it is not lawful for man, but it's difficult to speak it out, to communicate it to another person. Amen.
Amen.
That was what happened to him. He heard things, he just was at a loss. He didn't know how to pass it across. Amen.
Amen.
It's not only him, Daniel had that kind of experience, is it not so? In fact, Ezekiel, after he went there, the Bible said that for 7 days he sat down in the midst of the people. He couldn't say anything. You know, he was trying to reconcile what he was seeing with what he saw with what he was experiencing. And he didn't know where to begin. Hallelujah. You know, so God is always speaking. And, and in times of fellowship, he will take us to that place. And then we will hear, be able to receive what he says. God doesn't speak in English language. He doesn't speak in Hebrew. Amen. Or even Greek. Where men try to put it in those forms. Hallelujah. You know when God spoke to you, you know how it is. It's clear. It fills your whole being. Yes. Hallelujah. Yeah. You know, and it's wonderful to hear God speak. Yeah. Hallelujah. So I pray that He will speak to us today. And we will hear His voice. It will be very clear. It says, make the vision plain. Yes. Write it upon tables. That he may read, and then run according to his purpose. So, we're looking at the season of marriage, and looking at Ephesians 5, reading from 22. It says, wives, submit yourselves. And I always like to start from the 21. It says, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. You know, so the submission is equal, is mutual. Amen. Yeah. Amen. You know, in the home, the husband and wife are equal. Am I safe with the brothers? Yeah. am I very safe with the brothers? Okay. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, because scripture says, submit one to another. Amen. Yeah. You know, but the scripture also says, male and female created he them. Yeah. Hallelujah. Yeah. You know, so I don't know why people should have a problem with that. You know, God made me a man and made you a woman. That's the end of the story. Amen. Hallelujah. So, just be a man and just be a woman, and that there won't be any problems. You know, and that goes down to everything, the way you dress, yes, in your personality. You know, some sisters have problem getting married because their personality is that of a man. And how will a man marry a man? Is it possible? Please, can you check it? Hallelujah. A man wants to marry a woman, and a woman wants to marry a man. Hallelujah. You know, so we should train up our children to be. If they are ladies, if they are girls, they should grow to be ladies, and they should learn all the lady things. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. How to cook, how to knead, how to bake, how to do all the fine things, you know. And I know all the brothers, they like it. You know, they may not say, somebody is nodding his head, they like it. Amen. Hallelujah. You know, and we should train all the men to be men. You know, like you say, boys must be boys. And the girls must be girls, hallelujah. But we're in a world where there is another sex, another gender. It's called unisex. So there's another terminology coming, unisex. Neither male or female. And that is a beast. Amen. That is a beast. It's not of God. God has not created that. You know, and we must resist the attempt to do that. And they will do things to get the children to be neither male or neither female. And that is confusing unto God. Hermaphrodite, Janus was a two-faced God, isn't it also? One face was facing the old year, and then the other face was facing the new. So the Romans worshipped Janus. And that's where you have the New Year festival. Amen. In the place I come from, that's big time. You know, the first of every year is something special. You know, because that is the season, you know, of the way they operate. But God has His own season, so we will operate and function the way He wants us to go. So He says, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. He said, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church. And he is the savior of the body. You know, so it's trying to say something here, looking at the husband and wife, and then looking at Christ and the church. and he says that Christ is the savior of the body. The body, the human person, the human body, and the church is very special to God because it's personal. We will get to see that briefly. See, therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself, a glorious church, not having spot, nor wrinkle, or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife, even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. You know, they taught us how to read prose in school. When you read prose, you summarize it. So when you summarize it, you know this story is not talking about husband and wife. It's speaking about Christ and the church. The theme about husband and wife is a sub-theme. It's just using it to illustrate the mystery of Christ and the body. And here lies the burden of the season, because we're in the season of marriage. The Bible says that if you look at Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 6, it says, the Lord is for the body, and the body is for the Lord. You know, so the body, the human body, and also the body of Christ is for the Lord and not for any other, you know, so it's not for any other spirit. So there is something, there's a special bond between you and God. You know, there's a special bond. And at the end of it all, it must always reference to that. But God was saying to me, I've given you a special privilege by giving one of my daughters to you to marry. It is to show you my relationship with you. Sometimes we take ourselves for granted. The concept of marriage is taken out of place, and then it is brought very low to the dimension of a physical relationship, and that really it's really an abuse of the whole issue. That the purpose of a relationship between God and us is fellowship. And the purpose of marriage is fellowship. Now, some people in our own cultures, you know, the way where we came from, the purpose of marriage is not fellowship, is to have children. So the children are the bedrock. See, if not for these children, I will leave you and go. I'm only in this marriage because of these children. And then we have grown up, and then we've come with that. So in our relationships, the children are the uniting factor. But it ought not to be. The purpose of marriage is fellowship. You know, that Christ might have fellowship with us, and then he has given a dispensation for us to, you know, to also have relationships, you know, in the flesh, to that will help us to, you know, reference to the real relationship, which is the relationship with Christ. So, so the bond of physical marriage has to be Christ. If there's no Christ, then we don't have marriage. What you have is a contract. Okay, so they will do a contractual paper, isn't also? If we break up, you will take 10%. I will take 30%. You will take 20% of the money. I will take 30% of the money. Then isn't that where we are now? That is what you have in the world, because to them, the concept of marriage is lost. Everything is in the physical realm. And you find that is what you have at the back of our mind. So when someone wants to get married, what is in his mind is not really according to God's standard. You're not talking about fellowship. Fellowship of relating one with another in the fear of God as a reference unto God and all that. So these are some of the things that God is addressing, because in the church, the home is the basis, is the bedrock of what God is doing. And if the home is wrong, then everything else goes. Fellowship starts at home between, in fact, fellowship, of course, starts between the husband and wife, and they must flow with the children also. The home must be a fellowship center. You know, so it's the strength of the church is not really when you come together. The strength of the church is in the home. If the homes are not strong, then it's going to reflect in the church. When there's a disorder at home, it will also spill over to the church. And if you investigate crisis in fellowships, it always dovetails to the crisis in the home. You know, so when that begins, of course, it begins to maybe one or two families or two sisters or brothers begin to, and if you look at it, it all begins from the situation at home. It's important that the right order be brought. The husband and wife must be on the same page. So also, Christ and the church must also be on the same page. You know, God has raised up the body that he might be joined unto it. The human body and the human person is a vehicle for God. You know, the body was created for the Lord, that the Lord might express himself through the body. Even though man fell into sin, and with it, all the attributes and all the natures of man also came to a lower dimension, but that has not taken anything away from God. God has had a program to bring me and you, and to bring the church to a point where the church and the Lord will be joined into one. And in fact, that is really the story. You know, so you look through the Bible, it's a love story. You know, it's a story of romance, of God going after his bride. You know, so when we look at right from Genesis chapter 2, we began to talk about Adam. And in Adam, the man and the woman were in one body. Amen. Amen. The man and the woman were in one body. And so when the Bible says that in the resurrection, they will not need to marry. Now, you see, the chaps that came, the Sadducees, they said there were seven women. And, seven men and then one woman, and then they went on and on. He said in the resurrection, to prove to Jesus that there's no resurrection, whose wife would it be? See, seven of them had them. He said, because you guys, you know, you are walking in a different frequency. Because in the resurrection, they neither give or receive, because they are equal to the angels, being sons of God. Hallelujah. Now, that is what we have been called to be sons of God. Because in the resurrection, we shall be married to Christ. We shall be joined to Christ. And we shall be equal to the angels. I'm not sure that is false doctrine. Is it? Am I quite clear? am I home? Amen. Are we all right? Can we go? Okay. So, how can it be saying you are equal to the angel? Well, that's what Jesus said. Hallelujah. That we shall be equal to the angels. In fact, I'm sure he actually meant we are even going to go above the angels. Hallelujah. We are going to be equal to the angels. So, I don't seek to be an angel. I am man. I want to be the son of man. I want to be part of, come to that order of the son of man. Hallelujah. And then he sent one man as an example to us. Jesus Christ. Said, this one is the last Adam. Amen. You know, so the devil is going to do everything possible to erase that name. In contemporary society, it's no longer Christmas, it's not Xmas, isn't it? So, anything that's Christ, they will blot that name. But it's a futile effort, you know, because he said, by him were all the worlds created.
Oh, yes.
They are unto him, and for him, and to him, and for all the verbs, or whatever it is. You know, they can't even qualify what it is that you know, he is. You know, so there is a love story between man and God. Now Bible says, for we do not yet know what we shall be. You know, and I find that most times we don't know who we are, we don't know what we are. You know, and I always try to remind myself that I live in the heavens. Do you know you live in the heavens? Hallelujah. The earth is part of the heavens. Sometimes we reference ourselves to our, you know, to our local experience. That is temporary, you know, and will soon pass, and will soon fade. And then the reality of who you are, and the reality of your life, and I don't always like to use that word destiny, but of your, of God's purpose for you, it will begin to be real. And as you get closer to God, you will begin to. Some things will begin to drop, you know, there will be changes, and you know, many things will begin to change. So we are in the season of marriage. We are in a time when all things are beginning to come into one. The heavens and the earth are one. In the time of Adam, in fact, if you read two Babylons, they will tell you at the time of, you know, close to Adam, that the heavens were so close to the earth. In fact, the heavens watered and gave life to the earth. Even now, it's the rain that gives life, isn't it also? It is the sun that gives life, isn't it also? So everything that you find on earth is a product or a reflection of that which is in the heavens. You know? So I remember, you know, being in university, and then one rascal came out and said, like, God is in heaven, let him stay there. We are earth, let us take care of ourselves. You know, they were trying to disprove, they talk about the concept of original sin, that they're bringing it to make man feel guilty. And they brought all the, you know, all the theories of humanism, secular humanism, isn't also. They tell you God, you know, and the people are struggling to have secular societies. The UK has a crisis. They say, look, religion is the cause of all our problems, so let's stamp out anything about religion. But why they're stamping out religion, they're giving place to Islamism, to another religion, which is secularism, actually.
Yes.
You know, that's when there's no God, the God is the devil. Amen. So through the back door, the devil, they're entering another religion without, so it's just a mess. You know, and so they've lost the soul, a nation that lost its soul. And we pray that God will really intervene. Amen. You know, so as a people, we are seeing or begin to realize that we have a purpose and we have a history. And where we are coming from and where we are going to, it's certainly, in the Bible said that the lions have fallen unto us in goodly places. It's a great is my reward or my inheritance and my purpose in God. You know, so we must hear what God is saying. And he's speaking of man coming to his place. There is a place of man. Hallelujah. And the devil has tried severally to, you know, brainwash us, to mesmerize us, you know, do several things so that we will exchange our inheritance. Amen. And, you know, so he will try to, you know, bring several things. He will try different things, you know, distraction, you bring pressure, you do all things. And all that he's doing is just to bring you to a point when you lose your focus. You lose your inheritance. Yes, you become headbound. You know, you think that your life begins and ends here. My Bible said that if of all men, the only thing that we have gotten is that if we don't have any hope, then we are almost messed, miserable. And how shall it be that we should be miserable? You know, so the only thing that brings hope to us, that brings life to us, is when we begin to know our time, the season of our visitation. And the season of our visitation is that we belong to God. Amen. And that we belong in the heavens. It's our home. It's where we can say that, you know, Lord, that has been our, you know, dwelling place in all generations. You know, the blood of Jesus is an ancestral spirit. I hope I'm very safe. Which ancestry is better? It's better. He said that they were shed from the foundation of the world. Yes. That's when the blood was shed. Well, it began to speak at that time. So there is no spirit that has any antecedent beyond that.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Yes. So if there are issues in your family, you only need to sit down with the devil and you discuss with him. He said, look, my surname is in Christ.
Amen.
It's in Jehovah. And it is from the beginning. You know, someone says, from whence is the beginning? You know, Joseph, they were the, he said that there is some blessing went beyond the everlasting hills. So from whence is the blessing? And the God of Israel and so on. You know, so, so God is beginning to open our eyes and we are looking at the matter. And we are seeing that this thing is beyond our common discourse, you know, the way we have gone. And that is why we must reposition ourselves.
Amen.
In the church. You know, and that's why God is, there's an excitement. You know, when you look at the heart of God, you see what God is doing and what he has for you. You know, if you go 20,000 feet up the sky, you won't see anybody. Everything in this room will just become like a spot. But can you imagine how far God is? They say the sun is how many miles, million miles from here, isn't it so? And God has taken notice of you. Hallelujah. You know, so the thing is much more, the story is sweeter and better than it is. You know, so man was created for the Lord. The body is for the Lord. And he says, not for fornication. Hallelujah. So I was going somewhere. So Adam and Eve were in one body. And what God is saying is that, you know, some of the pressures that has been coming, you know, is in the sense that today, Baal worship, sexuality, is one of the major things that is being pushed. It's everywhere. It's soft. The soft pornography is there. Then there is the extreme one. And then it is in the clothes, it's in the mannerism, it's in the school, it's everything, you know. Or it's all over, it's pervading, it's a covering all over the place. Now, that is not unusual. It has to be. But the point is that God is raising a people, you know, in whom the power of God will be so manifest that they will be able to break out of that.
Amen.
So the body is not for fornication. Now, but whether it's natural or in the spirit, that is, the body is not to be indwelled by other spirits. Because there are lots of spirits that don't have bodies. They are called the disembodied spirits. And they're looking for bodies. They're looking for a body to express themselves. Also, the body of Christ, the people of God, there are spirits that will also want to express themselves through you, through the people of God. You know, so whether it's at the natural level or at the corporate level, the church must rise up to the occasion. Now, rising up to the occasion, what does the scripture say? That there were 10 virgins. Is it not so?
Yeah.
A virgin is a man who has not known another woman. Is it not so? Or a woman who has not known the man before being married to the legitimate husband or wife. Is it not so?
Yes.
Now, so in the spirit, we're not looking at just man, we're looking at spirits. You know, that the bride of Christ must not be known by another spirit, or by a group of spirits, or by a clan of spirits, or by a cohort of spirits. And that is the bride. So the church must rise up to the place of strength where she's able to purge herself from every intercourse, from every fellowship with unclean spirits, both at the natural level and at the corporate level. So when we gather together, we must be aware that there are spirits that want to be part of our gathering. You know, so you say, when the sons of God gather together, what happened? That the devil also came. They want to have an expression in the church. They want to have an expression in you. So, in you, between the relation between you and your wife, there are spirits that want to intervene. So, say, what God has joined together, let no man or spirit come in between. So, we see that in a traditional time, when a man and woman want to marry, the devil will do everything possible to get involved. And that is the problem with traditional marriage. Because brethren just feel, well, it doesn't really matter. It's not true. They want £1, just buy it and give them. They want £10, just find £10 and give them. Anything they want, do it and get on. But it's not as easy as that. You're looking at symbolism, you're looking at tokens, and you're looking at submission to spirits. Because God recognizes that the devil is the god of this world. He recognizes that it is the principle of dominions. You know, he say, the man say, I'm a man under authority. You know, so God recognizes that the devil has authority in this world. And this is the hour of darkness. The dispensation of Christ. In fact, when they came and said, have you come to destroy it before the time? There is a time. The government of this country is under somebody in the White House, and God recognizes it. The only way God can deal with you is to come into your heart and to establish an alternative government. So God is working in the hearts of men. Any man that wants to come into that kingdom must bring his heart to God. So he says, if you're in the world, you must recognize the magistrates, the government, the laws, and so on and so on. But in your heart, you belong to another country. So you are in the world, but you are not off the world. You know, so God recognizes that when you are born into a place, you are born under the dominion of those spirits. You know, so that is there. There are spirits that, of course, they say that principalities and powers, rulers of darkness, and the hierarchy of the devil. You know, so when a child is born in a place, those spirits speak. They demand worship. They demand sacrifice. They demand recognition. You know, so if at the point of marriage, the devil will, because it's important, there are gateways into life. One of it is childbirth. The other one is marriage. The other one is death. Now, these are major paths and gateways of life. In fact, the other one again is coming into manhood. You know, so of course you have fertility festivals, fertility things in there. You know, in that place they will tell you when you are going to be a man, you must be initiated, isn't it? So you don't just walk into manhood. If you're a woman, you also don't. You must be initiated. You know, and it's important because these are points in which the covenant is strengthened. The covenant is reenacted and strengthened. The devil strengthens and keeps you more into bondage. You know, so God is bringing a people and beginning to open the roads, begin to open the issues, and begin to make these things clear. You know, so we as a people, we are beginning to also, we must also begin become wiser in realizing the cords. In fact, if you look at the scripture, I think I was sharing it at Illinois. It says the sorrows of hell. Of course, that word sorrows actually means the cords. The devil has all kinds of cords and ropes and snares all over the world. That's how he rules his kingdom. And part of the snares are, you know, the division of his government in localities, from village, from clan, to tribal and national things. And the creation of nations, God only has one nation, and that's Israel. The other ones were created by men who are smoking cigar. And they say, yes, the other one, you shall call it Australia. This other one, we shall call it Nigeria. The other one, we shall call Gabon. That's how the nations were created. You know, and so God was not allowed that. But God will use it, and he is using it. You know, so in God's program, he's not about the U.S. or Nigeria or Ghana or whatever it is. Those are the things that men have done, but God has a people. He's raising a people from every tribe, from every nation, from whatever it is. He's, you know, so it's working. So there is a new kingdom coming. And that is coming in the day of the Lord, in which we have come to. So it is a prophetic time, a prophetic season, in which God is bringing forth the people from different parts. And he's saying, forming one new man.
Hallelujah.
And the character of this man is Christ.
Hallelujah.
The culture of this man is Christ. So in Christ we have our own traditions, our own laws, our own cultures, our own national song, our own flag, our everything. We have it complete. You say you're of the commonwealth of Israel. And I'm not talking about a natural Israel. Because I have been there. If you go there, the name Jesus is not mentioned. Although now there are Messianic Jews. You run to some of them. But Israel as a nation does not know Jesus. We're not talking about the Jewish history. Or, you know, if I, you know, so we don't surname ourselves in that. But rather say he's a Jew who is one inwardly. So he's speaking of that inward covenant. You know, when God comes to you and begins to woo you, that he, you know, that you might present your body a living sacrifice. So the offering that he's looking for is the offering of your body. Not just your body, but of your soul, you know, and of your spirit. When Elijah, when Ezekiel saw the vision, you know, of the cherubims, you know, he saw something that, well, when people look at it, they try to relate to it. But the truth of the matter is that God will only meet you between the wings of the cherubim. The nature of the soul must become the nature of the cherubims. And there are several dimensions of it, but when you bring it and you summarize it, it is a nature that is not ruled by self. The principle of self is the principle that God must exterminate. And, you know, the principle of self is what is dealt with in the holy place. You know, the outer court is the place where, you know, God deals with the issue of sin. And he'll make an end of sin. So if somebody's mind, he feels that I cannot overcome sin, that means you will perpetually remain in the outer court. If you believe that you cannot overcome sin, he says he will make an end. It says 70 weeks are determined upon Israel. Is it not so? To make an end of sin. To finish the transgression. And to bring in everlasting righteousness. And then to do or to anoint the most holy. You know, the soul of man must become the most holy of God. If not, God cannot come. God wants to make you a territory of his dominion. And my soul must being of that nature that can attract the presence of God. You see, when you say God inhabits the praise of his people, what does it mean? It means that, you know, the communion of God's people is such that it will attract the presence of God. There's an aroma. So it speaks of the fragrance of Christ. You know, there are things that go forth, you know, and that's why he says you must have the incense. The man carries the incense. And he goes in. When he goes in, he doesn't speak word. What he does is to bring forth the incense. Isn't that so? And it, as the incense goes up to God, you see, it ministers to God. And that is what draws and brings forth the presence of God. Now, when you look at the scripture in Proverbs 20, it says, the spirit of man is the candle of the Lord, giving light to the chamber. That word chamber, when you look at it, it says it means a furnished house. We don't know who we are, but God is opening our eyes. God wants you to be a furnished chamber for him to come and have fellowship in. He said that my beloved has gone down to his garden, is it not so, that he might eat of the fruits. Now, we think that there is something that we don't have anything to offer to God. It's not true. The thing that God puts in you is for his own glory. It's to minister to him. My life is to minister to the Lord. You know, the things in me are such that will make the heart of God to be glad. So God desires fellowship with you. In other words, it's like you make an investment in your child, isn't it not so? Because you know that the what will comfort out of that will be a blessing to you. Now, it is a cause for a man to have children and not to be able to eat the fruits thereof. That is, you should be able to enjoy your children, isn't it not so? You should be able to have fellowship with your children. And every man desires it. Every woman desires it. You want to be able to, you know, to relate and share fellowship with the children. So also with God. God desires to eat of the fruits of our lives. And that is why he talked about the harvest. And if you look at the feast, the first one, the second one, and the third one, we are all harvest of fruits. The first harvest was barley harvest. That is the Passover. It's the first harvest in Israel. And the poorest people eat barley, you know, so it was common. You know, so salvation is something that is all over the place. You know, so it is the common salvation. That's why you use the word common salvation. It's everywhere and it ought to be everywhere. But that is not really the chief harvest. The second harvest is the harvest of wheat, the wheat harvest. That is the Pentecost. It was, and he said, when you bake it with leaven. Because God had to make sure that the people will not stagnate at that point. And right now, when we look at the church, we see leaven. Isn't it not so? Yes. It's not all pure. Yes. You know, we're bogged down with leaven, with, you know, in relating one with another. There are things that come up that are not very palatable. And God is saying, look, this is not the feast. This is not my end point. But there is another one, a place of sweetness, and that is tabernacle. Now, in that place is a harvest of the fig tree. In fact, all the trees come to fullness. The fig tree is very sweet. Very, very sweet. And see, it's speaking of a place of sweetness. Of course, there you also have the grapes, you know, so, and from there you have the wine, the new wine that is coming forth. And then the most important is what? The olive, the oil, the light, you know, the anointing, you know, that is also coming upon the soul, that is coming forth upon the body. And that season, that feast, it was a feast at the last time. You know, so it's like when you have run, it says, if you have strength, is small in the day of adversity, then your strength is very, very small. Yes. You know, so if we have run so much, and then we have gone from Passover to Pentecost, and then the strength of many are failing them, that means that the real issue, the real things that are in the church, that men are turning back when they should really be strong. So it says that we are not of them who do what? Who draw back to perdition. So when you look at the church today and you are seeing a lot of things, there are two reactions. It's either you draw back, say, no, I don't want this. Then you go back to redeem church, or whatever it is, you go to different. And that's what happened. Now, because the vision was not clear. The vision was not strong. The vision was not clear. And dimness has come upon many people because they are perplexed with, you know, the leaven that they find. But God permitted the leaven. He said, bake it with leaven. You know, to say that this is a place of mixture. Yeah, but you know what? And in that mixture, it also indicated that there is a place where there is no mixture. And brethren, that is where we are going to. So we are coming to a fellowship where there will not be any mixture. We are coming to a place where there will be sweetness, there will be wine, and there will be oil. Now, the oil, it's what marks out the priesthood. There must be oil. If the priesthood doesn't have oil, then it will not, the light will go out.
Yes.
Now, when you talk about oil, the oiling of the soul, the anointing of the priest, my friend will tell you, my friend Eberi will say, you know, among the Igbos, they have something they do. They say they open the eye of the child. There's something they do to anoint your eye so that you can see what other people don't see. If you are going to be a chief, there are things they will do to you that will make you to see spirits of your forefathers. If not, you cannot operate. You must be able to hear what they are telling you so that you can do those things to protect their interest. Well, that's just in the natural. So in the spirit, a minister of God must be able to hear from God. You must be in communication with God. So what are we saying? We are coming to the season of marriage. But the bride must be prepared. The bride must be anointed. The bride must be made holy and must be made spiritual. Because the man that is going to marry the bride is a spirit. Say, God is a spirit. And they that worship him must do what? Must worship him in spirit and in truth. So a carnal church has no business with Christ. The only reference it can have is with the things of the world. So that is what you find. You give God 10 naira, he multiplies it. You give God, you know, so and so. So, and of course, that's a really bad worship, carnality. But God is bringing a people that will go beyond the natural, these carnal things. And then we'll be able to, a church that will be spiritual. A church that can relate to God and God can relate to. A church that is ruled and governed by the Spirit of God. And brethren, that is where he is bringing us to. If our God coming together is in the flesh, that is, we come because we are just a social thing, just at a natural social level. You know, I will visit you when you visit me. That brother Chuma has not visited me, so why should I? We're always with people going to his house. Why can't he come to our house? And he's just trying to say that we too, we are not people. That is, all that one is. You know, so that is not where we are. But that's where the church, that's where the devil will keep us. Hallelujah. You visit me, I visit you. The day you stop visiting me, I won't come to visit you. Hallelujah. Amen. But God will have the people that will go beyond. Amen. That is, you are seeing God and you are reacting to God. You know, the Spirit of God says, go here, and then you are going to go. Your brother is not going that way. Your brother is going this way. Because say, you, this is the way I want you to go, and that is where you are going to go.
Yes.
Hallelujah. So he's raising the people that are breaking through the barriers of the flesh. And it's called the Melchizedek priesthood.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Amen. You know, so it says a priesthood without beginning or end. What that just means simply means a priesthood of the Spirit.
Yes.
He says the wind blows where it lists. You only feel it, but you don't know where it's coming from, where it is. See, so is everyone that is born. So in the things, of course, we need platforms. We need a platform like this is so that we can minister to one another. But the platform is not the reality. Hallelujah. The platform only helps us so that we can actually get into the reality. But for a long time, we've majored in the platforms. And the platform is the church. And the structures in the church. Elders. Ministries. But since the fivefold ministry is coming to a time when what will happen? It has to give way. Because the body is the ministry. Amen. So it's not saying that men will not function. But men will function. But it's not just one man. But it is a corporate people functioning in those anointings. Amen. So the body must become prophetic. The body must become apostolic. The body must become evangelistic. The body must become, you know, all those, you know, graces. It's not just resting on one man, but it's going to be multiplied in the midst and in the gathering of God's people. And my blessing is in the blessing of the body. If you are strong, then I'm strong. Amen. Amen. But if only I'm the only one that has anointing, then every other person, then it's still the old order. So God said, I will raise up a new priesthood. I will make a new covenant. That he said that I will put my law in the inward part. You know, so it is a ministry of revelation. Is it not so? So that means every man has a revelation of Christ. That's the man, everyone is hearing from God. So when you say yes, I say God, that's what God is saying, because there's a witness within you that this is the voice of the Lord. You know, so it's not as though every man will, you know, will command as you have. We are just one man or a group of people are commanded, not, you know. But of course there is a journey, a movement to that place in the spirit. You know. So God is raising a people. The bride of Christ is a priestly order, because it's there to bring ministry. And you know, he began to say and speak of Zadok. He says that I will separate Zadok. You know, say he will minister to me, and I will set him apart. That the others will minister to the people, but that these ones will minister to me. So God is raising the people that will minister to him. Now, to be able to minister to God, then there must be an anointing, because a priest must be consecrated, must be set apart, you know, to be able to function in the priest. Say, look, make him holy garment that he might minister to me in the priest's office. Now, one of the things that we'll find amongst the brethren is that in the so-called coming out of Babylon, you know, it is being equated with levity. It's been equated with carelessness. It's been equated with lack of dedication and consecration. So we don't need to consecrate ourselves. We just, you come around and, you know, if I is so far from the truth. The things of God require a dedication. And that means a separation. The word holy is taken from the word whole, isn't it also? You are whole. That is, you are completely set apart. And the concept of God's holiness is twofold. That is a separation from the world, then a purification of that which has been separated. So you must be separated. There's a continuous separation, and then as you are being separated, you are being purified also. To the point where you can say there is complete separation and then complete cleanup. Because that which has been set aside is going to be joined to the Lord. And they say, in him is no darkness at all. So that's the nature. So when we talk of light and darkness, people are thinking that maybe as I'm walking around the road, smoke will be coming from my mouth, and the devil will. But that's really true. In the spirit, if you see yourself, you'll be shocked what you see. And that's what Ezekiel saw. He saw a fire. Fire enfolding himself. Earthquakes and lightnings and thunderings. You think you have seen anything? Just hold on. You know, by the time the church is set, all these things they are doing, it won't be an issue at all. Because there is so much authority and power. He said that when the temple was opened in the heaven, what happened? He said there were lightnings and earthquakes and thunderings, because the church has come to the place of power. The next grade of weapons they are making are the weapons that are going to be controlled by the mind. Now they are playing with it. It's called computer warfare. The man is in Washington. He's going to block all the atomic weapons in Iran. They have it, but it won't work, because the computer systems will jam. So they block the signals. So it's an operation at that level. But the church is going to go beyond. Hallelujah. You know, but it has to be a people that are walking in the light. Walking in the light says, if a man hates his brother, it is what? Darkness. You know, so it's not something that is up there. It's really real. And the only real way is that between me and my wife, I must walk in light. Hallelujah. I must be able to know when there are issues. And when another spirit has come, because spirits will always want to come in. Amen. If she cooks a good soup and you don't recognize it, you better be very, very careful. If her birthday comes and you didn't remember, there's going to be trouble. Amen. But it's an important issue. Is it not so?
Yeah.
I said, it's an important issue. Hallelujah. Because it's important. It looks so small, but it's important. You know, but you see, we have operated in the manner that we have been careless over several issues. We think that well, these ones are not spiritual. These other ones are spiritual. You know, but we are coming to a point when God will give us strength and ability to minister to one another. Amen. Amen. That is walking the light. Hallelujah. You know, we don't take ourselves for granted. Amen. Amen. Isn't it not so? We don't take ourselves for granted. That we'll be able to give every man his due. Yes. Hallelujah. And, you know, we are functioning in a way that we're able to touch one another. At the point, you know, people need to be recognized. Is there anybody who doesn't want to be recognized? Hallelujah. And God recognizes you. You know, he comes to you, say, Abraham. He calls him by his name. And then say, come, I want to make my covenant with you and with your house. Ah, the man will be very happy. Ah, God has recognized me. Even my people too, he has recognized. There's ready to do business with God. You know, so it's very personal. He comes down and he brings it down and distills it, you know, so that you can relate to him in your situation. You know, so we're in the season of marriage. And that marriage is the marriage of the bride and the lamb. And the Bible says that the bride has made herself ready. We must make ourselves ready. Now, the instrument of preparation is the Spirit. The instrument of that preparation is the Spirit. But you see, we quench the Spirit. When Adam fell, the spirit of man lost control, lost communication with God. It lost, will I say, knowledge, wisdom, understanding of the things of heaven, spiritual things. So, in other words, the soul must be schooled again, must be taught again, must be, you know, Bible said that the eyes of the understanding might be enlightened. Yeah. Now, what is the enlightenment? It is enlightenment in spiritual, in godly matter, in the thing relating to God. And Bible says that if I don't go, my spirit will not come. But when my spirit comes, he will take the things of me, and he will reveal it to you.
Hallelujah.
Now, the purpose of the revelation of Christ is to the soul. So that it, you know, so that the eyes can be enlightened, can come back to its proper functioning in knowing God. He said, oh, if you want to boast that you know God. Now, knowing God means a relationship, fellowship. And fellowship grows, relationship grows, you know so. Say deep calls unto deep. You know, so in knowing God, it might just be, so I know Brother Fred, but so I say yes, I know he lives somewhere in the lorry. That's all you know about Brother Fred. Hallelujah. But someone who is a bit deeper would not just know that he lives, but he has been to his house, not just at the reception, but he's gone in. You know, he can go to the tender places. He can go, he knows the things that you know, that how he can minister to him. So there are different grades and levels of knowledge. And in our mind, in our emotions, in our desires, we must know God. It says that man will meet with God. Now, if mortality means immortality, what will happen? The immortality will swallow it. That means there will be a change. You know? And the change, if you are going to relate with God, then you must be a candidate of change. You say, God, I am ready to change. That you cannot dig into your trench. You say, I am here, I can never move. No way. Because it is one glory to another glory, to the another glory. So we all, with an open face, beholding the glory that we are what? Transformed. It is the glory you see that you are changing to. If you don't see it, you don't have it. But when you see it, you have it, and you can be changed into it. A man can, you can never require something from a man that he doesn't know. This is not what the law says. You must bring it to his knowledge, and then he is responsible for it. Hallelujah. But if you are spectators outside, then you can't know him. And that was the problem of Esau. He was a man of the fields. The other one was a man of the house. The prodigal son went far. Isn't that so? Even the son who was in the house didn't even know the father. So both the prodigal son and the son in the house, they speak of the church. The same experience, but in different dimensions. You know, so the bottom line is that we must know him. The eyes of understanding. And then when you go to Revelation, he said, look, that this creature, it was full of eyes within and without. He's speaking of a knowledge. The knowledge of God. Knowing God. And he said that the knowledge of God, the beginning of it is what? Is fear. The fear of the Lord. The wisdom of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, of knowing him. That is, when you begin to know God, you will fear God. You will reverence God. You will know that there is an order. So you're not going to, nobody will teach you. There are things that will rise out of you. You'll be able to discern. There are languages you cannot use. There are places you cannot go. There are clothes you cannot wear. There are situations, you know, nobody will teach you because you will know it. You know, so there's an order that God is bringing forth in his house, where he will, by his spirit, begin to order his house. You know, every man will know that this is the new order. This is the place to go. This is where not to go. You know, but where we are now, we are walking by rules and regulations. You know, you say this, then, and all that. But that's an outmoded, it's not worked. And God is saying, my people must move forward to the place of relationship, of fellowship. Because he will have a church. You see, without spot, without wrinkle, and so on. So, Eliezer was a type of Christ, of the Spirit of Christ, that was sent for to get a bride. And right now, the Spirit of God is being sent for to bring forth the bride, to prepare the bride. Because we are in the season of marriage. We are in the season when men will begin to come into their estate in God. And if you look at the Feast of Tabernacles, when Jesus died, it was at the time of Jubilee. It was at the time of Jubilee. And if you look at the history, all major events, they take place at the time of Jubilee. At the time when there's a restoration. And if you look around, you will see that we have come to that place of Jubilee. The character of Jubilee is that the land will not be sold forever. You know, yes, man has been sold into sin. Man has been sold into slavery. Hallelujah, not forever. But man is going to restore back to his position.
Amen.
Of being a vehicle of Christ. Of being a chariot of Christ. Of being a bride that can be joined unto Christ. That is the season. And when you perceive the season, it says you make the sun and the moon in their season, that they may do also for signs and for times and for seasons. You know, so there is a season. When you feel the season, you know that this is the time to function in a particular way. It says, ask ye of the Lord rain in the time of the latter rain, and he will make bright clouds. You know, so you probably want to ask, what is the time? Is it the time of the latter rain? Is it the time of bright clouds? Is it the evening sacrifice? Now, when it is time of the evening sacrifice, the game changes. And brethren, that's where we have come to. The game is changing. There is an offering that has been made. The altar is being repaired. And the clouds are gathering. And it's going to rain. Something that is going to be very clear is that the authority of Christ is going to be established in the world. These natural governments have run their course. You know, they are raising their debt and all those things. And all those theories, they're just recycling them. They won't work. There is only one authority, that is going to work. And, you know, for Joseph, he told him 7 seasons of fatness, 7 seasons of lean times. But he says that for Jacob, his economy was not tied to any of those things. You know, so you must understand that your economy, what God is saying to you, you're not tied to the economy of this land or any other land. You know, so if God gives you a word, you hold it. Irrespective of the things you see around. If God says, I'm going to bring you through, he will bring you through. But if you have not spoken it, whatever you do, it will not come. You know, so we are speaking of signs and the seasons. And God is saying, this is the season of marriage. And when that time comes, it says that there will be a cry made, behold, the bridegroom cometh. And when that comes, it becomes a matter of oil, because it says all the virgins, what they do, they arose and begin to trim their lamps. You know, so we must look for oil. We must cultivate the anointing of the Spirit. We must cultivate this new wine, this new fellowship, this place of sweetness. And we must set aside, you know, the thing, the old order, the old mannerisms and attitudes and priorities, and realize that we have come to a place. It says, let's go out to meet the Lord. You know, so for me, it's a time of excitement, because I know that what is behind is nothing compared with what is ahead. And if I see the future, then I know I'm going to order myself differently. You know, there are things I'm not going to allow to affect me. You know, because it's like a woman who's pregnant, you don't get involved in all sorts of things. You know, so you carry yourself in a particular way because of the pregnancy. And in Revelation 12 said there's a woman pregnant, isn't it also? That she's clothed with, that one says she's invested with the light. Her clothing was light. And then she had a crown of 12 stars. There's a covering over her. And it's a covering of light also. You know. Now it's only that church that can bring forth the real situation. You know, so we can talk about it, but we must be. We must be and walk in that dimension. Then we can be a partaker of the next thing that's going to happen. So the church is changing. We are coming to a place of light, because there is something going to come. There is a greater experience coming forth out of the church. There's the fellowship, the type of fellowship we are going to have is going to change. Hallelujah. Because the heavens are coming down. Hallelujah. And hell is also coming down. Hallelujah. You know, so the order of fellowship will change very soon. Sometimes God can open your eyes and you will see that you are not alone. That there are people who are partakers of our gatherings and of our assemblies. You know, so remember that day, he said that they came and they walked around the holy city. They walked around. So the people that they saw men walking around the holy city, and then they were caught up. Hallelujah. You know, so we are coming to the order of resurrection. When it says, at that time, all that are in the graves are going to come forth. You know, the grave condition is not just the physical. It says the dead in Christ. The dead in Christ is referring to me and you. Because in Christ, all shall be made alive. But the dead in Christ are men who are in between. You know, the dimensions of them have been saved. But there's a breaking forth. You know, when you receive the Holy Ghost, there's a perfection that comes into your spirit if you continue to press on. But that fullness is yet to come to the soul. And it says, therefore, all creation waited for the manifestation. Say, in this we groan, that our mortality might be swallowed up. You know? So the dead in Christ shall be exchanged, shall rise. And as they hear the sound of the trumpet, the change comes. You know? So these are things that are beginning to happen. And the trumpet is being sounded individually and corporately. Men are hearing. I say, rise up. It is the time of marriage. Man is going to be joined to God. Yes. And man is coming to his right dispensation as the Son of Man and Son of God. Yes. Jesus was the first one. so that he might bring many unto glory. He said, we do not yet see man crowned. He said, what is it that thou art mindful of him? You have crowned him with all glory and authority. Then we do not see him crowned, but we see Christ crowned. Hallelujah. So he has gone as a measure, as a forerunner, that every one of us will be like him. That's why he has given us his spirit. See, if the same spirit that was in Christ, that raised him from the dead, dwell in you, that same spirit will do what will quicken mortality. So that is what the Spirit of God is saying. So we're not preaching two classes in Christ. Then Jesus then is the same piece of gold. He made it, you know, different branches. Yes, he's the tree and we're his branches. So we must be of the same nature and substance and operation of him. Yes. You know, so for a long time, the devil has told us that, look, we are of a second class. We will not be shopping the position of Christ. If anything, we are magnifying it. Hallelujah. Because his spirit is in us,
yes,
multiplying and manifesting himself in our individual peculiarities. Hallelujah. So we are coming to our destiny in God, our position in Christ, our inheritance in Christ. We are realizing that we are not going to be bound to the flesh perpetually. You know, that he is bringing us a place of release and abundance and glory and to reign with Christ. Hallelujah. So there's a bride of Christ that is raising up. And for me, that is an excitement and an encouragement. So whatever you have to go through, you go through it. If God says, let them march on you, fine, let them march on you. If God says, turn the other cheek, you do it. Whatever it is, he says, I have counted all things but dung, that I may be found in Christ. That I might win this thing, that I might be a partaker of it. You know, so he says, when a man sees something, a period of great price, and says everything, that he might buy that field because of the treasure. You know, so when you see the treasure that's in Christ, you are willing to give up everything. You know, so if God calls you to play a role, you don't need people to come out every day worrying you, brother, come and do this. And no. If God has given you a place, you stand there and you do it willingly. You know, you serve willingly, you offer yourself willingly, you bring forth whatever offering God gives you willingly, you know, because there's a price you have seen. Hallelujah. And see, it brings forth strength, because you know that there is a common vision and goal that he's bringing us to. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Lord, we just bless you. Hallelujah. For your presence in our midst. We thank you for where you are taking us to. Lord, we confess that we have been like men. We have functioned in foolishness. We have taken you for granted, taken one another for granted. We have brought forth strange fire. Lord, you said the times of ignorance you winked at. Lord, that you might have mercy upon us. You might cause us to begin to awake out of the dust, out of darkness. You cause us, Lord, to begin to respond to you. Lord, it will not be like hearing and continuing in our paths. But Lord, that there will be a change. Lord, that there will be strength to do the things that will please you. We thank you for the things you've given to us. We ask, Lord, that by your Spirit you will establish it. Lord, that you will give life to it. That you will water them. You will give an increase. Let it bring forth a hundredfold. That our lives will be with that which will please you. He said that you looked at Job, he said this was a man that pleased you. Lord, that your testimony of us will be that we are a people that always do your will, that we know your will, we seek your will, and Lord, you also give us the strength to bring it to pass. That will be children of your pleasure. Blessed be your name, Lord. In the name of Jesus. Amen.
Of your word, deep bath in that place of sincerity, of fellowship with your word, where we are changed. For diverse things have been spoken to us. Help us, O Lord our God, to go back and digest the spirit of the truth that has been ministered to us. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, our Lord our God, O Lord our God, take absolute control.
Amen.
Take absolute control, our Father. Take absolute control, our God. Our God, great God, Jehovah.
Amen.
Oh, Lord our God. Oh, that we might be changed, that this living might be purged out of our lives. That we might be changed. That the circumcision of the foreskin of our flesh, that we might be changed, that this living will be purged out of our system, out of our being, for our body, this body belongs to you, Lord our God, that we shall be exposed as a virgin indeed, unto you, that, O God, that there be a purging of every nature, every character, every spirit, Lord, that we shall not be vehicles for which disembodied spirit shall be made manifest in us. That we shall indeed be exposed as a chaste virgin unto the Lord, that we might be purged, and if in any way and in every ways that we have been otherwise, Lord, by your Spirit, help us to be purged by the washing of water, by your word, by the anointing of the Spirit of God, Lord, our God, we lay before you. And by your Spirit, we say that you have your way in the midst of us. Let there be a purging of every idolatry. Let there be a purging of every harlotry. Let there be a purging of every sin, every iniquity, every living. Oh, Lord our God, that we move on by your Spirit to celebrate the feast of tabernacles. Take absolute control, Lord our God. Lord our God, help us, Lord, help us. We invite you to visit with us and to drive out every activities in our temple, in our bodies, in our souls, in our spiritual work, as a family, as individuals, as a church that is not of God. Oh, concerning every one of us here represented, concerning those that are not here, concerning our brethren in America, concerning our brethren in Nigeria, concerning the church, the world over, we call upon your name, our Father, our God, and we say we invite you to drive out every activities within your temple that is not to your praise and glory. Do this out of your mercy. Do this out of your love for us. Do this, O God. We ask that you grace us to walk in the truth, that you empower us to walk in your truth. Father, Lord, our God, just come and help us, O God. Help us, Lord. We cast ourselves before you and we say, help us. At this time, we can use your help. Help us, O Lord. Help us, O Lord our God. Spare not our carnality. Spare not any areas that we have protected. Every areas. We expose every part of our lives to you. O Lord our God, take absolute control, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
Anybody that wants to pray, let us feel free, brother, to respond to the word of God that has come, and let us pray in the Spirit.
Heavenly Father, we thank you and we give you praise. Thank you, O God, because your word is forever settled in heaven. Lord, your word speaks of the stock in the heaven, knowing her appointed time, and the turtle and the crane and the swallow observing the times of their coming.
Yes.
And your heart says that for my people know not the judgment of the Lord.
Yes.
Father, we are asking today, O God, that as a people, O God, that we will know the time of our visitation. Now, Lord, that the things that you speak of are not in the hereafter, that it is for us, even as it is called today. Lord, let your counsel be performed in our lives. Let it be performed in our heavens. Let it be performed in our earth.
Hallelujah.
Even as it is called today, O God.
Yes.
Not in the by and by,
yes,
but in the now.
Yes.
Cause Jesus, your throne, Lord, to be established in reality over
Jesus,
our lives. We say, O God, our Father, rule thou over us, O God, even today. Establish here your throne. Lord, let thy will be done. Let thy will be done. We lift our hands in submission unto you. The word speaks of that another will lead us, even to whithersoever we will not. Lead us in that way that is not our will. But thy will be done, O God. So we submit unto you. Lord, we cease from doing and going, doing whatever seemeth right in our eyes. Lord, we desist from going whithersoever we will. Guide our feet, O Lord. Order our steps. That we indeed, O God, walk in thy way. Unite our hearts, Lord, to fear your name. O God, teach us thy way, O God. Teach us thy way. Teach us thy way. And grant we receive grace, Lord, to walk in that which you cause us to know. Even as your Son has said this morning, which we believe to be so, a man cannot walk in the reality of that which he has not seen. Lord, take away blindness from us. Lord, take away every impediment unto our vision. Cause us indeed to come to that word we said that thy eye shall behold the King in his glory. And I shall behold the land that is afar off. But not only shall we see the land, O God, but we will walk in the way of the Father. Hallelujah, O God. Lord, we need your help. We need your help. You are the one who knows the way through the wilderness.
Yes.
You are the way. You are the truth. You are the life. Bring us in alignment unto that way, unto that truth, unto that life, O God. In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Help us, Lord. Hallelujah.
Amen.
We submit indeed unto you. That Christ might increase, that we might decrease. That the Lord alone be glorified in our lives. In the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Father Lord, you are building your people. The building the people of power. You are building the people of praise.
Yes,
Amen.
You are building your people, Lord. Go through this land in your power.
Yes, that's what he's doing.
Show forth his praise. So we bless you. We worship you, Lord, because your promises, O Lord, they are yea and they are amen. Father, we rejoice, O God, even in the fact that you cannot lie, because you are not a man. You have spoken your word concerning us, O God. And Lord, your grace is sufficient even unto us, that we may enter the Holy of Holies, that we may be partakers of the Feast of Tabernacles, in the name of Jesus. Lord, we will not be contented in any way, even in the Feast of the Pentecost, nor the Feast of Week, O God, but that we would desire continually, O Lord, to enter into your fullness, in the name of Jesus. Lord Jesus.
Thank you.
Lord Jesus. Come, Lord Jesus. Come. Come, Lord Jesus. Break forth, O God, in me. Break forth in my brethren, O God. Take us, O Lord, by your grace, by your mighty hand, beyond, O God, the levels, O God. Ah, Lord, that we might see your fullness. In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Blessed be your holy name, O God. Your word has gone forth, O God, that this word, by the power that is in it, will continue, O God, to shed light in the dark recesses of our hearts, that it might shine forth, O God, as the chamber, O God, the decorated chamber that you have meant us to be, O God. In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Let your word, O God, bear fruit in our hearts, O God. Bear fruit in our lives. Hundredfold, O God. Lord God, at this meeting today, O God, will not be tradition, will not be formality, O God, but that purpose for which you have this day established, O God, that purpose will be fulfilled in the life of each and everyone seated here, in the name of Jesus. In my life first, O Lord, in the life of my brethren, O God. Lord, and to anyone that will listen, even by the airways or whatever means, in the name of Jesus Christ. Let your word burn, O God. Ah, when they were on the way, the Lord spoke to them, and they said, did our heart not burn? But he was speaking, O God. It was your word that burned in your heart, O God. Let your word burn, O God.
Yes.
And the prophets of old, the Bible said that they spoke with the Spirit of Christ. It is even that same Spirit of Christ by which we have heard today, O God. Lord Jesus, let it burn. Let it burn, O God. Let it burn in our hearts, O God. That it will bring forth, O God, that which you have ordained, even for us this day, in the name of Jesus. Lord Jesus, not a hoof shall be missing, O God.
Amen.
But as we all will enter, O God, that we will enter, O God, that we will enter, even, O God, the Feast of Tabernacles, in the name of Jesus. Blessed be your holy name. You are able, Lord. We know that you are able. You are able. You are able to bring us to that expected end. In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Amen.
Oh, I saw a young man, Maria of Virgin, so shall my son marry thee. Oh, as the bridegroom rejoices, oh, rejoice over thee. Till he makes Jerusalem.
Against the church. You're beautifying the body, oh God. Hallelujah, Jesus. Oh God, we thank you for that which you are doing in the body. You're building the body in the earth today. Oh, hallelujah. Foxes have holes and the birds have their nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head. Therefore, you are building a body. Hallelujah. Jesus, let his body indeed be an expression of you. An expression of your life. An expression of your glory, of your power. Oh God. Christ in us, the hope of glory. Christ in us, the hope of glory. Therefore, Lord, take away every foxes that spoil the vine from our lives, individually and collectively. And from your church, oh God. That Jerusalem indeed be made a praise. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Oh God. Hallelujah. You believe in us. Oh God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You believe in us. Oh God. Hallelujah. They sit at my right hand until I make the enemies thy footstool. Oh Jesus. You believe in us. You are believing in us. We are people of power, people of praise. A chosen generation, a holy nation, so so forth. The praises of him who has called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. Oh God, change us in the name of Jesus. Amen. Let us not be too strong for you. You touched Jacob in the hollow of his thigh, and you changed. Hallelujah. You brought about a change in him. My God, touch us individually. Amen. Cause us to conform, oh God, to the pattern. Cause us to conform to your image and your likeness. Cause us to become that which you are showing us. Oh God, in the name of Jesus, cause us to become in the name of the Lord. Make Jerusalem a praise in the earth. Make Jerusalem a praise in the earth. Oh God, in the name of Jesus. For did you not say, oh God, it shall come to pass that the mountain of the house of the Lord shall be exalted, and all above every other mountains, and all nations shall flow to it. Lord God Almighty, glorify your name in the temple, oh God. Cleanse your temple from every defilement. Cleanse your temple from every defilement. Oh God, cleanse it by your power and your glory, and let there be healing in the house. Amen. For when Jesus cleansed the temple, overturned the money of table of those that changed, money, the tables of money changes. Bible says, then the blind and the lame came, and he ministered unto them. Oh God, until then, the blind and the lame could not be ministered unto, because there were all kind of chaos in the house, noise. You cleansed it and you said, my house shall be called a house of prayer unto all nations. Hallelujah. We shall not make it a den of thieves. We shall not make it Babylon. Amen. A habitation for every unclean bird. Oh God, help us in the name of the Lord.
Amen.
Hallelujah. You believe in us. Help us, oh God, to see ourselves the way you see us and to align ourselves with you, oh God. Blessed be the name of the Lord. In the name of Jesus.